Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
This week, we are heading to Disney Plus to chat all about the Mighty Ducks.
Quack, quack. Oh, wait. Not yet.
Before Game Changers comes to Disney Plus on the 26th this month.
That's soon.
We decided to revisit the movies, so we literally just watched all three of them back to back.
Yeah.
Before we get to any of that, though, we have a few top of show things to take care of. First of all, March Madness. This one was crazy. This was our last run at the individual categories.
This is the final category.
Yes.
Next week it'll be the final four.
The final countdown. We've been listening to a lot of hockey music.
Yeah.
So this week we had a thrill ride, but we decided to go mountain. Favorite mountain thrill ride.
Yep.
And so that was, of course, Splash Mountain, Space Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain, and Matterhorn Mountain, and oh my god, like, literally, it was almost a four-way tie.
Yeah, apparently the audience was as good at making decisions as you are.
Oh, about the same. And I'm pretty bad at counting, too.
Yeah, count.
Do not teach math.
Math is hard.
But we think that Splash Mountain eked out a win on this one. I think my theory is, because it's changing, that might have swayed a little bit that way. Yeah, but man, people feel strongly about their mountains. Let's just say that.
Mm-hmm.
By far the most votes we've had.
It's a tough category. Yeah. I think this would be the number one seed in your March Madness.
100%, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. So our final showdown is our favorite Disneyland item based on the highest of each of the previous weeks. So just to refresh your memory, that is favorite snack, which was the, do you remember?
No.
It was the Dole Whip.
Oh, I was going to say churro, but...
No, it's wrong.
That was just my... That's just mine.
Your favorite.
Yeah.
Favorite entertainment item, which was Fantasmic.
Yeah, that was a good choice,
Favorite dark ride, which was Pirates.
Mm.
And now, of course, we have Splash Mountain joining that. So,
it's gonna be...
good luck voting on that. We will have voting open all week, though.
Okay.
On all of our social media stuff. The other thing... one of the things that we talk about top of show is a nerd thing you are currently into this week. Brandon, what is your current nerd thing that you're kind of into?
We've been kind of Marvel all this month.
Yeah.
And Falcon and the Winter Soldier just came out.
Yep.
But we watched Age of Ultron.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. The Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And Civil War.
Yep, this week.
Just getting ready for it.
It's true.
Man, those movies were even better than I remember, so...
I know. And we've been talking about it and everything like that. And it's like, who does not enjoy these movies? Just super fun.
Yeah. And like, both the Captain America movies are like just really good.
Mm-hmm.
And even Ultron, which is kind of a mixed reception type of film.
Yeah.
I liked it. I still liked it quite a bit.
I said this when we were talking about Ultron before. I think Age of Ultron gets a bad rep just because it's up against the other Avengers movies, which are so strong.
It's definitely the weakest Avenger movie,
but
still, that's like pretty good company.
Yeah, yeah, ridiculously high bar.
Mm.
Awesome. You were talking about Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
So we do this like Marvel...
Well, wait. What's your nerd thing?
Oh, right. Sorry. Yep. Okay. So my nerd... Can I say Animal Crossing again?
I mean, that's what you're
well,
doing.
Well, new items came out, and it's been exactly 1 year since it was released.
Yes,
so it's, like,
it's 1 year anniversary that you've been playing this game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so that is my nerd thing.
Got
right
a new
now.
Villager today?
I know, I went villager hunting. I'm, like, really into villager hunting. I don't know. It's odd, but I really enjoy it. So I did that. I was a little disappointed I found someone in only 28 tickets and not, like, 100 and some. But, you know, it was fun. So, yes, I'm very into
that. So my secondary nerd thing is I made a spreadsheet for you.
You did.
For your villager hunt.
You did.
With really pie charts.
Yeah, there are pie charts.
Everyone likes pie.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And charts
for
pie. It was pie day this week. Good job.
It was, yeah.
That was the pie we had. Okay, so that was my nerd thing.
Okay, back on topic.
Let's go back to Marvel. You mentioned Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Before we started our crazy Mighty Ducks marathon.
6 hours of Mighty Ducks or close enough.
Yeah. Mm. We watched the first episode.
Yes.
Initial spoiler-free.
Mm-hmm.
Initial gut reaction. What did you think of the first episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier? And since you went, yes, I'm going to assume that it was all right.
Well, spoilers are going to be a little less important for this one.
It's true.
Than they were for WandaVision, I think. It's pretty straightforward. It's just a kick butt Marvel movie that's longer.
Yeah, divided into sections.
Like, the special effects are top notch. Yep. Like, you cannot tell a difference between the movies we just watched this week and this show. So
pretty crazy. All of you people who
What do you mean, you people?
The people who are whining about WandaVision, the first few episodes.
You people.
Who are whining about WandaVision and not being able to get it, or like not wanting to watch something that was, you know,
different,
dealing with grief and dealing with emotions and having the slow build. Here you go. It was super fun.
Oh, yeah.
Super fun.
Hey, you know, it's still dealing with emotions. It's just more in a straightforward Lethal Weapon type of way.
This is very much people who really like all the action stuff in the MCU. Mm. They're going to enjoy this a lot more than WandaVision.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even though I loved WandaVision, I'm still really enjoying this so far.
It's awesome.
I mean, one episode in, but thumbs up.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was really good.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing we like to talk about, top of show, is what are we currently drinking?
Well, so we just watched all the Mighty Ducks movies.
Uh-huh.
And to ease our way through the painful 90s sports movie melodrama that is the Mighty Ducks, we decided to play along a drinking game.
We're a little old for this.
We are a little old for this, but so every time they scored and every time they quacked,
they quack a lot in these movies. Okay? Yes.
We had a nice drink of our gin and tonic.
Yes, yes, yes. We are both drinking gin and blackberry tonic.
Blackberry tonic, yes. Mm-hmm. So very, very delicious and goes down easy, thankfully.
Thank goodness, yes.
There was a lot of goals in those movies.
Well, thank goodness. Fewer goals in the third movie. Mm. It's kind of like the whole
thing.
Well,
they were preaching defense in that movie, so
yes,
it's
we'll important. Talk about that, yeah. But thank goodness. I think I'm going to die here if we keep up this pace. All right, so before we get to all the goals and defense and all that stuff, we have news items.
It's a big one.
All right. Disney A News Update.
They officially announced it. Disneyland is reopening April 30th. It's going along with the California health and safety and all the tier systems and stuff. And it's apparently still going to be 15% capacity while it's still in the red tier.
Yep.
Well, whatever.
At the rate they're dropping them.
Yeah.
My goodness.
It's going in the right direction. The graphs and all the vaccinations
it might not be in the
out.
Red tier for long.
Yeah, so that's big news. And
yeah,
and
April 30th.
That's our news. Yeah.
Well, Touch of Disney did open this week.
It did. Yes.
Yes, and that was super super exciting, but kind of overshadowed by the fact that Disneyland is actually open.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to be back in California Adventure and see all that, and have some of the wine festival food come back and have a Disneyland churro again, but
in part. Yeah, we haven't watched a whole lot of coverage of that. I've of course seen lots of postings and things, and it looks pretty awesome. So probably this week coming up, we're going to be watching lots, I think.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, and so that is a pretty big news item.
big time, yeah.
Very exciting. And that takes us to the main topic.
Disney Plus and chill.
Okay, so the Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks, yeah.
Mighty Ducks. Let's do a little bit of an overview first, and then let's go movie by movie, chat about what we think.
Okay.
Okay. So, first of all, the 1990s saw a crazy outpouring of live-action teen-ish preteen sports movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a big genre.
And Disney was right in there.
That was kind of their bread and butter at that point.
It really
was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that gave way to the Mighty Ducks. Now, the Mighty Ducks also led to an animated television series, and of course, the upcoming live-action sequel series, which is the impetus for us talking about this.
Yeah.
And a real-world NHL team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The films came out in 1992, 1994, and 1996, and oh my, were they early 90s. Early to mid-90s, but especially those first two.
Oh, yeah.
And it became a cult classic, which is a really nice way of saying it was so bad it was good and became very popular.
Yeah, and it was of its time. And
totally.
Kids grew up with
100%.
It. 100%. Like, we specifically were the perfect age.
Exactly.
Basically the same age as the kids.
Yeah, we grew up
in the movies, so.
Exactly.
It worked for us, and
Yeah.
Hockey is a big thing in Canada. Totally.
Yeah. Besides becoming a cult classic, it did have very poor critical response.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I can't imagine why. However...
No Oscars for the Mighty Ducks?
No, weird. Yeah. Hmm. Several professional athletes have expressed appreciation for the series and said it helped inspire them and was like an outlet and everything like
that. Yes, because ducks fly together. And
ducks fly together.
And that helped them.
Yes. I think it was reasons. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, not just hockey players have said this. Mm-hmm. However, I do remember, well, we can talk about this a little bit later, but so both my brothers played hockey and one was close to me in age and so would have been about the same age as these guys as well. And there are always a lot of other sports movies for kids. You know, there's lots of soccer movies and lots of baseball movies
Not as many soccer movies as you would think.
I remember watching a lot of soccer movies.
I always wanted a soccer movie.
Big Green.
Yeah. It was worse than the Mighty Ducks.
Nah, actually. I like The Big Green.
Yeah.
But there was not a lot of hockey movies because, of course, most of these movies are made in the States and hockey's much bigger in Canada than it would be in the States. Mm-hmm. So I think... the Mighty Ducks really latched on for anyone who was into hockey. It was just, the only option, basically.
Oh, I remember it was huge.
Yeah.
And I actually kind of resented it for that fact because I didn't play hockey as a kid.
Mm-hmm. You liked hockey, but you didn't play
hockey. I liked watching hockey, but I never played it. And
All right. Mm. So let's start with the beginning. Let's start with the first Mighty Ducks movie, 1992. Old Gordon Bombay, Emilio Estevez.
Emilio!
That's also dating us a little bit. Okay, so besides the shout out in Night at the Roxbury, what did you think of this movie?
If you're gonna have a framework for a cheesy 90s sports movie,
yep,
this is it.
Yeah.
You got the evil team that they play in the first game
and get
trounced, and then they work their way back. And then they play them again in the finals and triumph.
Of course. Not like they did that at any of the other movies.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is like dating back to like Bad News Bears and like a long time ago. But
we need to establish how much they've grown during that time.
It's just like a prototypical cheesy kid sports movie.
Yeah.
It does what it needs to do, but that's not really how hockey works.
We'll talk about how hockey works here in a minute. Okay. So, the thing that stands out most to me is, okay, dude, if your entire existence is defined by missing a penalty shot when you were, like, what?
Eight?
Ten? Well, yeah, right?
Yeah, he's young.
He's
supposed to be a peewee hockey team, so whatever that meant at that time.
In one peewee game where you've scored 100 and however many
198 goals that season,
yep,
yes.
That was going to be one of my trivia pieces.
Whoops.
That's fine. That's why I have backups.
Hmm.
So if you have a season like that and you miss one penalty shot and you let that define your entire existence
as
a human being, my goodness, is that
He's not a well-adjusted individual.
No.
And I mean, it goes on to show that. Like,
it does.
He's not a good person at the start of this movie.
I get that, you know, there's growth and everything like that. And it would be really interesting. Well, it would be somewhat interesting to tie it in. Like, hockey is connected to his father and so on and so forth. And his father dies and stuff like that.
He's got as many daddy issues as all the superheroes.
Yeah, almost. Well, almost.
almost.
Yeah, he did have Hans.
Yes.
Oh, so, you know, this dude is not very well adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he very quintessential 90s yuppie kind of critiquing that.
Leans into the yuppie, like, it's Minnesota?
Yeah.
I always associated the Mighty Ducks movies with California.
That's
because
of the second one.
Well, because of the second movie and also because of the NHL team is in California, Anaheim, because it was owned by Disney originally.
Yeah, it's like was really close to Disneyland, actually.
Yeah, no, that was the whole impetus of the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
But it was in the first movie and the Ducks team actually comes from Minnesota, which is the Canada of the United States.
Yes, it's true.
They talk like Canadians more than most of Canada.
Yeah, they say A more than we do, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. there was an episode of How I Met Your Mother where they make fun of that.
Yes, it's true.
They need Marshall and Robin need to hang out all the time because they're basically the same.
Yeah.
They hang out in t-shirts in the snow. Speaking of, it has been, what, like plus 10 Celsius here?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit.
I don't know.
But plus 10 Celsius here, so that means we've been, you know, sitting in t-shirts and tank tops on the deck.
Yeah.
That's a reasonable thing to do.
It's warm for the spring, so,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, surrounded by snow. So we get it. Minnesota, Canada, yes. So, of course, this makes more sense that there are people passionate about hockey there.
For sure.
Yeah. And we had this as a trivia question before. Well, you asked me, what was Gordon Bombay's crime that got the DUI for which he was sentenced to community service, which is then becoming cocaine?
DUI was his crime, yes.
It was his... Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine them doing that now?
That, like, the scene of him driving down the road while chugging a beer in a kid's movie.
That's crazy.
What?
That's crazy.
That is really wild.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what did you think about this one? Just, eh?
It's not a good movie. although I'm pretty sure Hans, they remade into the storefront guy in Frozen. I know one is like Norwegian and the other one is German, but they seemed the same to me.
I don't know German.
Hans?
Well, he's Norwegian.
Is he?
Yeah, that's
oh,
why they
right.
put their hands on the
they
ice.
They do say that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yoo-hoo.
Yoo-hoo, big summer blowout!
On all of these hockey skates. That was my accent.
Not good.
No? Okay. No, all right. No. So then we move on to D2. And we go from, like, local
Pee-wee
to Team USA.
Yeah.
So, okay. So Brandon has a lot to say about this movie in particular.
Okay. I understand you need to get bigger and better for the sequel, but they jump straight to the Mighty Ducks become Team USA. Because reasons?
Because, like, local good team, I guess?
No! They were a dysfunctional team that barely won by a miracle. They literally call it the miracle of Minnesota.
Many times. It's like a recurring name, actually.
And so then they recruit this miracle Pee-wee team to become Team USA.
Okay, but, like, okay, let's look at the nature of this tournament, first of all.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Team USA representing what, exactly?
USA.
No, I get that. But, like, let's look at the other countries involved and things like that.
Well, I was going to get to that.
Okay,
but...
okay, never mind then. We'll wait till you get to it. So, I'm, like, wondering about the, like, how important is this tournament?
Obviously not very important, because... I know that the U.S. has a, like, national development team where they wouldn't just recruit a random Pee-wee team for fun and then add some stereotypical extra people in there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there were, like, 5 extra players, maybe, something like
something
that.
Something like that. You got your really good girl goalie.
Yeah, she was really good.
You got your really fast Mexican-American.
I was from Florida.
San Diego.
Florida, I think he was from Florida.
Oh, he's from Florida. Oh. Interesting. Cuban-American?
Yeah, I don't know. Hispanic-American.
Yeah. He was like Speedy Gonzalez, basically.
Yeah, and that's like was the joke they were going for, and that
weird.
Does not age well.
No.
But of course, he can't stop.
Can't stop, yeah. Well, I mean, they all need a gimmick, right?
Of course.
You got your Speedy guy who can't stop.
Yep.
You got your Asian figure skater.
Yep. An Olympian.
Who can't score.
Or each small guy.
Small guy. Little guy.
Yeah, he could score. He's just a small guy.
Yeah. And...
Crazy Texan redneck
who...
is really dumb.
Just dumb and can't play hockey that well. Well, I mean, he was supposed to be able to play hockey,
but... He was good at puck handling, bad at things like passing.
Or thinking.
And thinking.
I don't know.
I was bad at that.
Kind of
really,
silly.
All good at roping, which is apparently a very important hockey skill.
It is not.
No.
Narrator.
No.
it was in fact not an important hockey skill.
Okay, so you were a little critical of this movie, basically.
Yeah, well, it makes no sense. You go from 0 to 60
right.
for no reason. Like, they could have incrementally made it a little bigger, like, state. They could have gone to state championships or something instead of the world.
Right.
They're suddenly on Wheaties boxes. And
that's true. They were on a Wheaties box.
Yeah,
it was a whole thing.
It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then besides that, they're in this world tournament, and suddenly their big evil opponent, who's also wearing black, just like the first movie.
Of course.
Yeah.
How else will you know they're the bad guys?
Team Iceland.
Yes. Not known for their crazy good hockey teams.
Iceland... Okay, here's the thing about Iceland. It's a very small country.
Yes.
Not a big population.
No.
Not enough population to draw from to be good at any sports on the world stage.
Right.
It makes no sense.
Well, my favorite was the first team they played in the tournament that was like, oh my goodness, so crazy, was Trinidad.
Trinidad and Tobago with their tie-dye uniforms. I think my theory was that this came out shortly after Cool Runnings, which was a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wanted like some kind of Caribbean flavor to it.
Again, though, Trinidad not known for junior hockey.
No.
No.
Any kind of hockey.
No.
I'm pretty sure you couldn't field a team. Well, maybe.
Maybe field a team.
Maybe if you
They
got...
said that about the bobsled team, though.
Yeah, and you see how that turned out. The movie is not a documentary.
But a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. No, Trinidad and Tobago would not be in a world hockey tournament.
You know who wasn't in this world hockey tournament?
It's kind of an important omission, yes.
Yeah, especially in our opinion.
What kind of rinky-dink world hockey tournament does not have a Team Canada qualify?
The one where they wanted the States to win.
Yeah. It was like, okay.
Sorry, guys.
So we want this Disney movie ending where Team USA wins. We can't invite Team Canada.
Yeah, we want them to win, and we want them to play Iceland. The only way that is going to happen... No, this is not going to happen.
It's just not going to happen.
Not even Russia. At least Russia had a team there.
They had Russia in the tournament.
Yeah.
And they upset Iceland.
Yeah, yeah, weird. I don't know. What about, like, okay, other hockey teams? Finland?
You could put
Finland in there.
Get a Scandinavian country in there. Finland, Sweden.
Yeah, instead of Iceland.
Would be great. Even Norway, which is, they're not great, but they're better than Trinidad and Tobago.
It had the tie with the Norwegian guy, if it had been a Norway guy.
Yeah.
Like a Norway team, right? Norwegian Hans and everything.
That's probably why they didn't want to.
Well, then put Finland or Sweden.
Speaking of the Norway guy.
Yes.
His brother was in this one, apparently.
Yes, because
quote-unquote.
He went back to visit his family because he was the favorite. Hans was the favorite.
Hans.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
So
there's a big summer blowout he had to take care of.
kind of a weird continuity thing where they just randomly bring in a brother for this movie.
But not the third one.
Not the third one.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe
I'm thinking about the canon and continuity of Mighty Ducks a little too hard.
Maybe. Like Bombay's love interests and the build up this whole thing where, okay, look, I'm all for like single mom raising a boy and he's being very accepting.
Yes. We did not talk about this enough when we were talking about the first movie.
No, we were very brief.
Charlie really was trying hard to set up his mom. Maybe a little too hard. It was kind of weird. It's like, hey, would you like to come date my mom? Yeah.
That was weird.
Come date my mom.
It was weird.
Yeah, it was super weird.
And then in the second one, there's like an offhanded comment like, oh, since she remarried, even though there was this whole thing about how hard it was for them to date. And this was like a year later, less than a year.
Yeah, it was literally a year later. It makes no sense.
Yeah, like a little bit of continuity problems there. I get it was because they wanted to have this whole like love weird interest thing.
Yeah.
And so you could have the Iceland woman being so symbolic of the more yuppie stuff.
Yeah.
More yuppie
It was
stuff.
His temptation to be not good again, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. So So all that. And
but the biggest oversight of this movie is there's no Team Canada. They should have been the evil team.
100%.
But I mean, I guess you can't really paint Canada as the evil team.
Yeah, good luck with that.
So,
well, I mean, people have tried.
I mean, South Park tried, but it was like satire and it was hilarious.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, and also, can we discuss the cameo hockey player who shows up?
Yeah.
Wayne Gretzky shows up to wish Team USA happy good luck, boys. Totally behind you, Team USA.
Not Canadian at all. But
nope.
I mean, he's kind of like adopted America because he like
he
got traded to the Kings and like was helping build hockey programs in the States, and he lives in the States now.
Now,
but
not in 1994.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying. He's still Canadian. Very, very Canadian.
But I mean, like, okay, Canada, we're just pretending Canada doesn't exist in this game, in this movie.
Basically.
Canada doesn't exist, so...
I mean, the best hockey player on the Ducks always wore 99.
Exactly.
And for a very good reason.
Yeah, exactly. So that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. I don't think that you complained about anything as much as Canada not being in the tournament, other than like the hockey itself.
When you make a sports movie, it's not really the sport, but hockey is tougher to dramatize than say something like football, where it's stop and go, or baseball, where there's like very specific things that happen. Hockey's a free-flowing thing, so to make it a dramatic sports movie, you kind of have to fudge stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of it kind of bothered me.
Watching the movie while listening to Brandon commentate, yes, there was a regular use of some profanities, but there was also like, that doesn't happen. That can't happen. Doesn't happen in hockey. Nope. That wouldn't happen. Definitely wouldn't happen. Also, making fun of concussions hasn't aged very well.
Yes. There is a lot of concussions in these movies to small children.
Yes.
That is a problem.
Yes, there were.
Yeah. Yeah. And hits from behind causing concussions. Yeah. And it's problematic.
It's problematic, yeah. Yes. To be fair, the 90s were not great at concussion protocol. Safety.
Health and safety. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The referees didn't wear helmets in these, hey? Mm. You notice that?
That was the 90s for you. Yeah, referees didn't have to wear helmets back then.
It's kind of weird watching now, though.
The refs would quaff their hair and want to look good while they're blowing calls. They beat Team Iceland, though, right?
Yes. Thank goodness. Oh, man, it was
set to the score of Queen.
Oh, yes, they did. And then they celebrate, set to...
badly sung Campfire Queen.
Yes.
Because they are the champions, my friends.
World. Oh. Da, da, da.
These movies are just fantastic. Aren't you glad we watched them all?
They're a lot of fun. And also, all of the evil coaches, like, get their team to fight dirty. And so you have
Including Coach Bombay in the first movie.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, he tries.
Yeah.
The Iceland coach is no different, of course. Well, he's wearing black and has his hair slicked back. He really is missing a mustache.
In old Westerns, the villain always had a black cowboy hat.
Mm-hmm.
In 90s villains, they always had their hair slicked back.
True.
It's just like the sign of the villain.
It's true.
And like in the second movie, when Coach Bombay is having problems, he slicks his hair back.
Mm-hmm.
It's very symbolic in the 90s.
Yes. A great literary analysis of this film. But you have the one player who the coach comes out and he's all like, "You lost it for me." He says, "No, you lost it for yourself."
Yeah, see, this player is much more well-adjusted than Gordon Bombay was as a child.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they celebrate. Yay, Team USA. They are the best in the world now, apparently.
For Junior Goodwill Tournament with
No
Canada.
No, yeah.
Big asterisk there.
Big.
Gigantic maple leaf-sized asterisks.
Those asterisks are sweet like maple syrup.
Mm-hmm. So,
okay, look, Canada is really proud of hockey, okay?
We are! And
we don't, you know what? On the world stage, Canada doesn't always win, but we usually play the States, and it's always a good game.
Yeah.
And, okay, a lot of times we win. But even when we don't, it's a good game, and it almost always comes down to Canada and the States, and we didn't even get to the tournament. We're upset about this.
It's a garbage tournament, clearly.
We were busy playing other more important tournaments.
Yeah.
With the other team.
It was a goodwill tournament. It was goodwill for the States because they could win.
Well, I'm pretty sure that if you had a Team USA, your players wouldn't be this like little local team from, most of the players might be from Minnesota, but they wouldn't be like this little local team from Minnesota with five other players, one of whom is supposed to be this amazing skater who doesn't know how to stop. They do not make the national team.
No.
It's not how that happens.
No, like, the USA actually has a really good development program, and they are really good at hockey.
Yeah.
Like, it just is the way it is.
Yeah.
Like, they're probably the second best nation at hockey in general.
Yeah.
Russia has an argument.
Yeah. Do you think we might be going a little bit too far into the analyzing the hockey part of the hockey movie?
It is a hockey movie.
Yeah.
And they're trying to make you believe that this is a hockey team playing hockey games. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. So now we go in, we leave Iceland behind and we go into D3.
Right. They are originally a small peewee team in this like Minnesota inter-city league.
District kind of deal.
And suddenly they're Team USA.
Yeah, big jump.
And now they're at a preppy high school.
Yeah.
It's kind of a step down.
Yeah. And
it's weird.
I really thought it was like a college thing, but no, it's high school. They say several times. Charlie says he's 14.
Yeah, he's 14. He looks older than that.
Well, because he was 17 when
apparently
he made it.
You said he was 17 when he was filming this. He looks older than that.
He does, but I read an interview from Joshua Jackson, who plays Charlie, before he was Pacey or anything. And he said that, yes, that they, you know, came out every 2 years. And poor Emilio Estevez had to deal with them when they were 13 and then 15 and then a little bit when they were 17. But yeah, 17 playing 14-year-olds, but looking like they're 22.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't know. So
especially that one Bash brother.
Well, okay, we'll talk about him later.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're in this really hardcore high school, hockey academy, basically.
They've gotten scholarships because of their hockey playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so full-ride scholarships, which for some is a bigger deal than others, and that's made super clear.
Which is actually kind of interesting, I found, because like some of them are a little more privileged, and then you have Kenan Thompson's character that they recruited in the second movie. He's from South Central LA, mm-hmm. and he's like, no, this is like a big deal for me. I'm getting like a good education, and like I need this.
Yeah, so a couple of the times they make comments, even from the beginning, about like not liking the school, or my dad said I can come home if it's no good, and everything like that. He says, no, my dad said I have a full ride scholarship, stay here, or he's going to kick my butt.
Yeah.
And it was like,
yeah.
And he's kept saying, I'm not messing up my scholarship. But,
I think this was like the most realistic thing I've seen in like the Mighty Ducks movies.
It's
like,
totally true. Yeah.
So I actually quite like that.
I like that too. I also like the girl who was going around trying to get signatures for a petition.
Oh, the random new girl.
Yeah, random new girl. Who, because now the boys have officially apparently hit puberty, so they're allowed to have love interests.
Oh, yeah.
Kinda.
Sign of a side
thing. I mean,
thing,
there was like a little bit flirtation stuff in D2, I guess. But anyway, yeah, they're 14 now, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Or 17, 22-year-olds looking like they're 14. So anyway, yeah, she's trying to get signatures because the school team name is the Warriors.
Mm.
And there's that little commentary there where she goes up to Charlie and asks for a signature for a petition to get the name changed. And he says, what's so bad about that? And then lists a whole lot of really bad names.
So he lists a bunch of professional team names, mm-hmm. which are all currently getting a lot of heat and or have had to change their names mm-hmm. already. So yeah, maybe having your team mascot be a Native American is not the best choice.
Yes. Yeah. Caricatures of cultures or races, bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So she, and this was, I thought, pretty progressive for 1996 mm-hmm. that they were having this discussion, and he says, you know, the name Warriors isn't so bad. Let's look at these other ones. Maybe the best argument for mm-hmm. something isn't like, it's not that bad because there's a whole lot worse.
No, yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little bit ahead of its time, maybe.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so that was pretty good, too.
So the one thing I will say, D3 actually surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the best paced of the Mighty Ducks movies.
Yeah.
For a third sequel of a cheesy kids series, it's actually pretty well shot and written. And there's some interesting topics there.
Yep. Well,
it's not a good
technically
movie.
Technically, it's probably the best of the three. If you're going technically, critically,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we're talking technically and critically, that's a low bar.
No, super low. Super low.
Your first one has your nostalgia factor, and your second one as well. I remember watching the second one way more than probably even the first one, quite frankly. And D3, I know I've seen it when I was younger, but I don't really remember it. So it doesn't have the nostalgia factor. So it's relying on the critical thing.
It's just, it should be a cash grab at that point.
Yeah.
And the fact that they actually tried was interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
And
admirable.
The lesson about defense, and it only takes a second to score a goal, and no lead is safe, kind of sticks with me, especially as a Leafs fan.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about that.
No. Even today.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's not talk about that then. Yeah, that, and you know how he applies it to life, and of course you have here Emilio Estevez doing more like bit pieces, I guess.
Yeah, it's like a glorified cameo, but he's in it a
fair
bit.
Yeah, fair bit. And you know, there's a little bit more coming of age and moving on.
Oh, and Hans dies.
And also Hans dies. But after he has to give motivational speeches and stuff, though.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, it is important because that's kind of his role.
Mm-hmm. And he also knows he's dying somehow. He's like,
well, he was kind
like,
of
goodbye forever.
He was kind of, I think he was having heart attack symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he must have known that.
His Norwegian powers to know.
Well, no, it showed and he was kind of like breathing heavily.
Yes.
He seemed like he was in pain and such and so forth. So Hans dies. And of course, then, you know, Gordon Bombay has to come back and, you know, save the day a little bit, get a lawyery again.
He lawyered.
Yeah. Lord.
Wait, that's the second How I Met Your Mother reference this episode.
Yeah, it really was.
Uh-huh. Good job. Sorry.
So yeah, that happens. And of course, you have your previous players back in there and they're dealing with coming of age stuff and more conflicts. Ooh, bad guys don't wear black here.
Mm.
Red.
Yeah. And their fans wear, like, native headdress.
Yeah, that's not
things.
Great.
Yeah,
no.
Well, at least they did mention it.
Yeah.
As kind of a talking point. It's
kind
90,
of
it's 1996.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to do with that. But
Charlie's mother comes back.
Randomly.
Randomly, just to be in the stands.
No husband.
No. What happened to him?
Maybe she's a murderer.
Maybe. Like, two husbands off in a pretty short succession of time.
Interesting. Yeah. I'd like to see that movie.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Charlie's Mother.
Mighty Duck story.
Yes, we need more backstories for these side characters.
So I want to talk about the backstory I want to know about.
Yeah.
So in the first Mighty Ducks movie, the driver of the limo, so when Bombay is sentenced to community service, part of the deal is they, because of course his license has been revoked, is they said, I'll
probably
give
from
you,
the beer chugging while
that
driving.
Would,
yeah.
That
yeah.
would do it. Yeah. yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Is we'll give you a driver. And you have this guy, driver, I don't remember his name.
Lewis, I believe.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. So, Lewis, if that's not his name, that's now his name. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what we're calling him. So, Lewis is his driver. They become chummy and they start chatting and stuff like that. And he ends up kind of being like an assistant coach, even though he's just kind of there. But what's interesting is Bombay loses his job.
He does, yeah.
So would he not have lost his driver?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the driver also lost his job.
Just because?
Well, I mean, he was employed by Bombay's boss, the big Ducksworth lawyer guy.
And who, that, there goes another trivia question.
quack, quack, quack. That's where he got the name for the Mighty Ducks from for
was
reasons.
That definitely the trivia question.
Well, I just okay, whatever. Anyway, he was employing him, and so when he's mad at Bombay, but the driver still wanted to be with the team, I'm sure he got fired too.
Well, yeah, if he decided to stay with the team, it was interesting, and I was like, but I want to see them interact more with the kids. Yeah, he had the
wanted
kid flipped upside down.
Wanted his backstory, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wanted his backstory. I wanted his side story.
It's like a former wheelman for the mob.
Right?
Is what I
see. And
he's
just like, turned his life around. These plucky kids just got to his heart. So, Lewis the Driver, a Mighty Duck story.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, talk to us, Disney. We've got ideas.
This would make a great Disney Plus show. Yes.
Maybe he'll show up in the new show.
Probably not.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. And he is never seen again.
I mean, Hans's brother comes in the second movie, and he's never seen again.
Yeah, he seems like his older brother.
So he should probably be, I would say maybe he could come back in the series, but he should be dead as well.
Yeah,
I mean,
probably.
The actor might be dead as well, because, like, he
probably. Well, I know Hans did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overall, what did you think? Oh, I asked you about the first one. The second one, you were just really annoyed that Canada wasn't in it. What about the third one?
It's a decent teen melodrama, I guess.
But you had that super inspirational moment, Brandon, where Gordon Bombay slowly walks out of the arena. He's come to terms with his problems, I guess.
No, not really.
But he's really good friends with a bunch of 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
He says so.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. No, I would say this has, like, an interesting, like, social class commentary to it. Just because, like, these are underprivileged kids for the most part.
And they make a very clear point about who does and doesn't belong in this very preppy school. In fact, Banks, who is a central character for conflict in the first one, and again, a little bit in the second, not really conflict in the second one, but, you know, he has a role in
the
second one.
He's the best player.
He's the best player again and again. And he is surprisingly the only one who's chosen for the varsity team, even though he's the one from the rich family.
Yeah.
Which is
he's
also probably why
kid,
he's the... Yeah, he's the rich kid. That's part of, like, his gimmick. And he's the only one chosen for the other team, even though all these guys played on Team USA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
but apparently they're not as good as the regular high school team, I guess.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, so then there's that class question there.
Yeah.
You have...
Russ Tyler or something
okay.
like that. Yeah,
well, anyway,
yeah.
you have him making comments a few times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say that the team is white trash, and he brings up the fact that their team is the one that not everyone's white on it.
Mm-hmm.
yeah. Or male.
Yeah. And that's the thing about the Mighty Ducks is it's always been co-ed.
Yep.
Well, I mean, they've had at least one girl on.
Yes.
And multicultural. There's been some black players. And and then in the second one, they have a bunch of different races on there. And
So, and the varsity team sure doesn't.
No. They're pretty white, preppy.
Men.
Rich.
Boys.
Rich dudes.
Yeah. They do make it super clear that it is a like an us versus them kind of situation.
Yeah. And it works. D3 was actually the one that surprised me that it was, like, more watchable than I was expecting.
Yeah.
After the first two, I was like, oh, man, we got a whole nother one of these. And it was okay.
Yeah,
like,
and usually series go down in quality.
Maybe my expectations were just lowered
and
I had just had enough gin and it was fine.
But yes, D3, watchable. Pleasantly surprised.
They're all watchable, but like in like a kind of so bad it's good way.
Right, cult classic way.
Yeah.
So, I mentioned Joshua Jackson, who plays Charlie, is kind of the central hockey player, mostly, in the first one.
Yeah.
And then definitely in the third one.
Mm-hmm.
He's the protagonist of the third one.
He's the main guy in the third one, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
And then, but somehow he gets benched in the second one.
I maintain he benched himself.
Anyway. Continuity, not important.
Yes, okay. So, that's Charlie. And... my continuity thing with that one is in the second one, he said, I always said I'd be a better coach than player. And in the third one, he's all whiny about not being the best player. And when the one guy's like, I don't know if I want to play hockey my whole life. He's like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Guy who doesn't want to play hockey his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Maybe he wants to go be a lawyer or something like that, hey? So in this one, we have the Bash Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Mostly the
second one. And our one character is Fulton?
Yeah.
Yeah. He shows up in the first one as this, like, kind of bully goonish guy, except he likes the who become the Ducks.
Yeah.
District 5, he likes them.
He kind of protects them and stuff.
Yeah.
But he can't skate, and he has a big slap shot, and then I guess he learns to skate for the second movie.
Yeah, well, they got him on skates and, like, kind of tottering, but, like, skating enough that he could be on the ice by the end of the first movie, and he plays in the second one, and they made fun of it in the third one. Because they're like, oh, we like Fulton and he's so good now at skating and things like that. And he is the actor,
Eldon Henson.
Plays Foggy.
Foggy Nelson.
In Daredevil,
yes. Yeah.
Well, and the Marvel, that TV show.
The Netflix
yes.
Daredevil.
World. Mm-hmm.
Which may or may not get absorbed into the MCU.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So he plays Foggy, who is a fantastic character, by the way. And when I was young, I was always like, oh, he's my favorite.
Mm.
And now Foggy is like one of my favorites. And yeah, I totally did not understand that correlation until we were watching this now.
Nice.
That was like rooted in my brain somewhere.
Yeah. And the other Bash brother does an impromptu strip show in the penalty box
in the third movie
for some reason, just because he's got like nice muscles now or something.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
It is a little weird.
He's still a teenager.
Mm-hmm. We don't know if he's...
The actor may not be, but he's supposed to be playing a teenager.
Yes. At most, if the one guy's 14, this kid would be like, what, 15, 16?
Yeah.
Something like
that. Maybe don't sexualize the 16-year-old. Boy.
Yeah, and they like make a joke about it.
Oh yeah,
like the ladies in the audience really like it,
and
the crowd.
And they zoom in on Charlie's mother when they say it.
Yeah, who's like cheering and stuff. Uh-huh. So I get even this happened in the second one too. You know, when the Bash Brothers went a little crazy and things like that, and the Texan roped the other guy in the ice in the middle of the game. Like the crowd went crazy, and I get that they really were like amping up the crowd, like they were throwing stuff and yelling stuff and like throw themselves against the glass and stuff during then. But in the that they didn't need to take off clothing.
No, taking off clothing. But so the Bash Brothers is a throwback to another hockey movie classic, Slapshot.
Right.
The Hansen Brothers do very similar things. Mm. They're goons and they cause fights and they get the crowd going. It's a throwback to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did they have to take off their clothing to do that?
No.
Were they teenagers at the time?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
No, Slapshot's rated R. It's a...
So it actually would have probably made more sense for them to take off their clothes, actually.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Still not teenagers. Let's not do that.
Nah, that's weird.
That did not age great. Looking at that through adult lenses, you're like, wait a minute, no, bad, don't do that.
Or the cheerleader upskirt scene.
Yeah, oh, that was not great. No, that always made me uncomfortable watching it in Greece. That came out in the 70s.
Yeah.
The young man who decides he's going to
crawl under the table
of the cheerleaders and like look up their skirts and grin at the camera.
Yeah.
That's funny.
No,
that was not funny. Yeah, so certain things did not age great.
No.
Not great at all.
So, overall, Mighty Ducks, nostalgia and not much else. They're not great. Hopefully.
Well, okay. I'm going to speak in defense of them, though.
Okay.
They are
good luck.
Not great for now standards, but for 1990s sports children's movies, like, yes, okay, nostalgia factor, and I'm not saying necessarily great movies, but like fun and silly and like,
okay, so 90s sports movies, you got stuff like,
it's not The Sandlot, okay, let's just
not,
okay, like,
you got stuff like Sandlot, and you got Rookie of the Year, which is cheesy but
mm-hmm.
better.
And I just really like that there was a hockey movie for kids like then.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just colored against it because I didn't like
I
didn't like it when I was a kid, so I have zero nostalgia for it.
Oh, well, maybe.
But hopefully...
But Foggy.
Hopefully Game Changers has more than just nostalgia going for it.
Yep, well, we get Emilio back for
Emilio!
At least a little bit. I don't know how much of a... I don't know if it's going to focus more on just, like, the kids or if he's going to be, like, a thing. I don't know. But anyway, he's in there. Emilio. And I really, really hope they quack.
No, they're going to quack.
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 Quack. Quack. Yeah, oh, I went too far.
Probably enough quacking.
Okay.
But yeah, that's all I have to say about the mighty Ducks.
Yeah. Don't sit and watch all three back to back in a row before it comes out.
Yeah,
but
I wouldn't,
you know, if you
it.
Wanted to jump on and watch one of them,
probably
nostalgia.
Probably just watch the first one.
Yeah. You're not missing a ton of plot if you don't watch
it's
all three.
It's the most simple sports movie. It works.
Yep.
And makes sense. And yeah.
The end.
The end.
Yeah. And Emilio Estevez is really young in it, which is just enjoyable. See? Pretty high-powered lawyer for being in his 20s. Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
Yeah. And you, too, can wonder about Lewis the limo driver's backstory.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Very important. So that takes us to trivia.
So last week, we were talking all about WandaVision.
Yeah, and I love WandaVision, but I was not confident on these questions at all.
Yeah. I tried to trip you up a little bit.
Well, you did.
Yeah, okay. So, do you want to find out the answers?
Oh, I suppose, yes.
Okay, so first I asked you,
mm-hmm.
Wanda and Vision move into a house?
Yes.
In a cul-de-sac?
Yes.
And I told you that this whole neighborhood was like kind of like a back lot and
right.
It's been used in different filming, but specifically their house was used in a pretty famous movie.
Yes.
And I asked you what it was.
Yeah.
And you said...
Wrong. Home Alone.
Actually, it's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Which is really cool. And I see that movie so many times.
Yes,
like,
you have seen it a lot.
Like every single year. You know what, though? I was thinking Christmas. So somewhere in my brain...
You were close. Yeah, you did go... Yeah,
somewhere
I don't know.
In my brain, it was like, this is a Christmas movie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And as a side bonus trivia,
mm-hmm.
Their neighbor Dottie's house
uh-huh.
was in Lethal Weapon.
Yes, that one I knew.
Yeah.
Just annoyed at myself. But my brain knew it was Christmas and that Home Alone wasn't right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Home Alone house is very...
Very distinct, yes. But I knew it was Christmas and that was just a house that was very...
We make fun of how big and fancy the Home Alone house
what
is.
What does the father do for a living? And does he invest in poinsettias?
Yes. Yeah. But he's got all the poinsettia futures you could want. I don't know.
Oh my God. He's a drug mule or drug lord or something
like
that.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yes. Definitely. Okay, so then I asked you, the songwriters and composer
mm-hmm.
on WandaVision also collaborated on another major Disney project.
Mm.
What was it? And you said...
The Incredibles. Wrong again!
Yeah, no, yeah. Sorry. It was actually Frozen.
Which is really cool, and I don't know why I didn't think that. I know they wrote Frozen.
Yeah, you even had seen them talking all about their theme songs.
Know.
And they are very famously the Frozen
songwriters. Yeah, 100%.
And they come from Broadway, which you like.
Which I love Broadway. Yeah. I'm mad at myself for that one. I'm not mad at myself for the National Lampoon one so much.
Yeah, I mean, that's just cool trivia. Yeah. That you'd be guessing on that. Right. So, whatever.
But I'm mad at myself for that one. I should have known that.
You should. And third, maybe not so mad at yourself for this one. This one was pretty tough. Director Matt Shakman for WandaVision actually has had previous experience directing a superhero TV show.
Right.
And I asked you what TV show that was. And you said...
Batwoman. I don't know. 0-3.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't right.
Not so good, but completely anti-Disney, anti-MCU. It's The Boys. He directed an episode of The Boys.
So can I just say that is a super fun show? Really adult.
Really, really, really adult, yes.
Like, really adult. When I recommend it to people I know who have kids, I'm like don't even make sure your kids are asleep. Like, in another room, door closed, everything. Like, it is probably the most adult show I've watched.
It is a tough watch. You need to be a mature adult.
Yeah, and, like, in the right frame of mind. Like, some stuff is actually hard to watch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah. Okay, but super, like, well done. Yeah, so can't say I'm surprised once you said that, but very, very not Disney.
He's clearly a versatile director.
Very much so. Yes. Yes. My turn to ask you now.
Excellent. Maybe good. I can get... better than you.
Oh, well, it's not going to be hard.
Well, yeah, we'll see.
All right. In the first movie.
Yeah.
Gordon's license plate?
Oh, Just Win or something like that. It's something to do with Win. Yeah, Just Win. It's when he's a lawyer.
So between Mighty Ducks 1 and 2, Gordon Bombay plays for a minor league team. What is it?
Oh, they had really ugly jerseys.
That is not false. part is true.
It was like the Minnesota Waves or something like that. It was like, it had like an M and it said Waves on it, I think. I can picture it in my head, but yeah.
Yeah, jerseys were not attractive.
No, they were ugly. No. Like a teal and maroon and orange or something weird.
Even for 90s standards.
Oh, it was ugly.
And I love the 90s, but like... these were not good.
Yeah. They did not have the NHL or AHL licenses to use real hockey teams. Yeah. Just the Mighty Ducks.
Just the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, and the Sharks. There was a Sharks.
Oh, yeah, there was a Sharks one.
In the first movie, one of the kids wears a Sharks t-shirt because they were probably a new team in 92.
And the Stars.
The North Stars.
Yeah, and then the Dallas Stars.
Well, yes, because in the North Stars one. Were not the North Stars anymore.
No,
yeah.
No. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, and I had a question from part one, a question from part two, so here's a question from part three. Mm. In part three, we find out Charlie is allergic to something. What is it?
Is it when he's throwing up at the amusement park?
I will tell you that is not when we find that out.
We just watched this movie. I don't remember him being allergic to anything.
Do you want a hint?
No.
Okay.
He's allergic to losing. I don't know.
All right, losing.
Yeah, sure. Okay. We'll go with that. That's weird. Hopefully it's not bee stings, because that was a different movie and Macaulay Culkin had a bad day.
He had a bad day.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So if you want to guess on our trivia questions, or if you have your own trivia you'd like to suggest, feel free to contact us on our social media or through our website. And you can also take your opportunity to let us know your vote for our final week of Disneyland March
Final
Madness.
Four. And Monday.
That's true. It does come out on Monday.
Yeah.
That's a true thing. Let us know your favorite Disneyland thing from those four items.
From the top four, the final four.
Fantastic.
Nope. Not yet.
No.
No.
What? I was just teasing it.
So that's our show for today. Thanks to El Mule, who's responsible for our awesome custom theme song that you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work on our website at disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. And you can also find us on social media. Instagram at disneya.podcast, on Facebook at disneya, and Twitter at disneyapodcast. You can find Disney A episodes on your favorite streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and many more. Please review our podcast and subscribe. If you know someone who might like to listen to us, please recommend us.
And if you leave us a review, we will read it out loud on the air. Well, on the podcast.
As long as it's good.
Right, yes.
If it's bad, we'll just cry, I guess.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Don't make us sad.
Don't make us sad. We've discussed on this podcast how easily I cry at everything.
It's probably true.
Not that far of a stretch.
And then I have to comfort her. It's this whole thing.
It's a thing.
Yeah. We don't want that.
No.
So you can also listen to Disney A episodes on Magic of the Mouse Radio on Mondays at 4 p.m. Eastern, with replays on Wednesday and Friday, also at 4. You can listen to Magic of the Mouse Radio on Live 365, MyTuner Radio, Radio Garden, and other radio station apps. Join us next week when we're talking all about The Touch of Disney, which just started.
Yep, just started. We were actually going to originally talk about that this week and then Mighty Ducks next week with just for when it was coming up. But in case you guys all wanted to go out and watch Mighty Ducks before the show started.
Quack, quack, quack.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, ducks fly together, okay?
Apparently when roosters crow and everything.
Yeah.
Ducks fly together.
Don't talk to the Texan guy. He's kind of weird.
Ducks fly together.
All right. Well, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista. And until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A.
Oh.
Yeah. Talk to us, Disney. We've got ideas.
This would make a great Disney Plus show. Yes.